King David yanked the featherbed away from the child. She lay sprawled on her back, as if she had been pushed down suddenly, and her brown calico dress was smeared with dirt and blood. Beside her lay another body, a woman of about 20 years in a faded gray dress. The woman's breast was red with blood, and her face was set in a scream for all eternity. Letty Harmon, with whom Queen of Sheba was sometimes allowed to ride, because Mrs. Harmon told her stories about fairies and elves. For an instant, King David was stunned to discover his sister's presence, her living presence, here among the dead. Then he grabbed the child and pulled her up thoughtlessly, not stopping to see if she was injured.
"Come on, get away from there, Queen of Sheba."
His sister clambered to her feet. There was dirt on her face and hands, and a white sunbonnet hung from her neck. The strings tangled in her long yellow hair. She had one shoe on and still held a gray knitted stocking in her right hand. Her blue eyes were vacant, her delicate face pale and dazed as she looked around.
"All them folks?" she whispered. "They're hurt?"
"No," King David said quietly. "They're dead. At least everyone I've looked at is."
He took a deep breath as he struggled to readjust his thinking. Only a few minutes ago, he had been the only living soul here. And now, there were two of them. But was it better or worse? Finding Queen of Sheba here was like finding a baby bird fallen from its nest, fragile, pulsing with life, but a life that would be so hard to save.
"Here."
King David struggled to pull himself together, to deal with what he had here instead of wasting time with wishing.
"I gotta find some place for you."
He looked around for some kind of shelter for her, to remove her at least temporarily from the sight of violent death, and at last realized she would be best off in one of the wagons, if he could find one without any corpses in it. He led the way across the torn ground and, after inspecting two wagons, found one that contained only a pile of quilts and kitchenware. He pushed her into it.
"Stay in here, Queen of Sheba," he told her, "while I look around. I gotta see if there's somebody else alive besides us."
"Somebody," he told himself hopelessly, "somebody who's bigger than I am. Somebody who can tell me what to do." Queen of Sheba sank like a frightened bird into the nest of quilts, and King David began a slow, careful tour of the shattered wagons. His head still ached, but he could think clearly now. There were 12 bodies scattered among the wreckage, and he was already sure that 11 of them were so mutilated there was no possibility of life remaining. Of the 12th, it was the guide, Luke Skinner. He could not be sure. Hope screamed through him as he examined the crumpled form. "Oh, Lord," he prayed, "let Mr. Skinner be alive, even hurt, crippled. We could all make it together, somehow." Luke Skinner lay on his face at a distance down a slight slope toward the shallow, winding draw the wagons had been about to cross. He did not appear, at first, to be as badly wounded as the others. But as King David knelt beside him, ran trembling hands over the man's body, he found a little round hole in the buckskin coat, a bullet wound in the center of the back. It had not bled much, and King David, when he felt the old man's hand, thought he could feel a faint pulse. There seemed also to be the slightest puff of breath from the nostrils, and his flesh was warm.